Glad that you are here. Just in case you do not know, I am Jordan Crow. I'm one of the youth ministers here. And if you notice, we all have on, well, not all of us, but a lot of us have on these blue mission trip t-shirts. And we're excited this year to have three different mission trips, two actually to the same location. But we're going to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we're taking two different trips down to the Dominican Republic this summer. This is one of my favorite times of the year, though it is probably the most exhausting time of the year. It's a lot of fun to see our kids put into practice some of the things that we've been teaching throughout the years. In our youth group, we try to bring everything back to discipling. I believe that that was Jesus, one of his main calls to us, to go and make disciples of all nations. And so our goal in the youth group, and you've heard me say this if you've heard me speak, is that by the time our teens graduate, they know, one, that that is their role, that is their mission, and two, they know how to do it. We don't want to send them off to college. We don't want to send them out into the workforce. We don't want to send them out into life without knowing and equipping them to do God's work. And part of these mission trips is that. It is hard to touch a life in 1 week. It is hard to go and, evangelize and be effective for just, you know, the 1 week that we are in these places. But we try to take a posture of learning when we go to these areas, the Dominican and Tulsa. We want our kids to understand that they are learning and they're doing hands-on discipling. And though those reaches might not be, much beyond the week, they're planting seeds that God can take. And then we come out of that incredibly changed. The Dominican trip is especially close to my heart. My wife and I, we lived there for 2 years. We met there. She is not Dominican. Or she's the whitest Dominican I've ever seen. One of the two. But we worked there for 2 years, and it is a very big blessing in my life to see the people that we're able to work with now come and join hands with the people that we were able to work with then, and for them to have to see that kind of cross-cultural ministry and to be able to see kind of the fruits of our labor, even though it's been, I guess, 4 years since we've been there, and see those kids grow and develop. And, you know, hopefully, as, you know, we stay in Pleasant Valley for as long as you'll keep us, we'll be able to see the fruits of our labor here with the teens that we as a congregation have raised as they move out into the world and into their separate ministries. But today, I'm really excited because we're going to have representatives from each of the three trips come up and discuss some things that they're going to do, things that they're excited about, and just kind of discipleship in general. So I'm going to have Wilson Walls step up here with me real quick. And Wilson is going on our Tulsa trip with us, and so I'm going to let him kind of introduce himself and let us know just a little bit about you as a person, Wilson.
Well, as Jordan said, my name is Wilson Walls. I'll be going into the ninth grade. I've been going to PV my whole life, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
I feel like we know you so much better. So this Tulsa trip, Wilson, you have been going on this for a while now. How many times have you been on this trip?
This will be my fourth time on the trip.
Fourth time on the trip. Now, help me understand this, because you're only going into ninth grade, correct? So you would have been going on this trip before you were in the youth group?
Yes. When I was going into the sixth grade, my mom was one of the chaperones on the trip, so I tagged along.
You tagged along. Well, great. Sadly, this is my fourth summer here, and every summer something has come up where I have not been able to go on the Tulsa trip, so I've never gone. So he is more of a professional on this trip than I am. So if you could help us understand what this week looks like when you are at Tulsa.
All right, so we get there on Sunday afternoon, and we go to the church that we're helping at, and they give us an orientation. They tell us what the theme of the VBS is this week. And they give us the name of who our little buddy is going to be. And what your little buddy is, it's what they call the kids there. And you follow them around the week, and you make sure they're doing the right thing. That's who you're mentoring the week. And then you meet them on Monday morning when they first pull up in the vans. And we rotate throughout the day with games, Bible classes. There's a reading time. There's one class where we watch a movie. Then on Monday night, we go to one of the apartment complexes where the kids live, and we have a cookout and a Devo with them. And the schedule is pretty much the same on Monday and Tuesday, or Tuesday and Wednesday, my bad. And then on Thursday, we go on a field trip with the kids. Usually it's roller skating or bowling, and then we come home.
So all week long, you are with your little buddy. And so that same little buddy follows you every single day?
Yeah. Yes.
Excellent. Sometimes when you go on a trip, you kind of you get used to it, and maybe kind of the shine and the excitement wears off of it, but you have been going, this will be your fourth time. What do you think makes you keep coming back to this trip?
Well, I think one of the reasons that I like to keep coming back is because of all the connections that you make, not just with the kids in Tulsa, but I've made connections with people in the youth group, people that I didn't really know before, but we became friends over Tulsa, and I still are friends with them today, so that's one of the reasons I like to keep going.
So when you go down there, you recognize faces of kids from the past, but you also go and you kind of create community with the people that you go down there with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Perfect. Okay, so what is one of your best memories from this trip with your little buddies?
Well, at the end of every day, they have something called ticket time. It's this huge party. They turn off all the lights and their big flashlights. And what ticket time is at every day, the counselor or the person in charge of your group is watching the kids. And if he sees them do a good thing, like pick up some trash or answer a question in a Bible class, he'll tell them that they get a ticket. And what that is he takes out this little ticket stub and he writes their name on it and he puts it in a box for a group. And at the end of the day, they call out each group and they take out one of the tickets. And if whoever's name it is, they get a bag of candy or a big prize or something. And one year, my buddy Noah won it, and he was so happy. The look on his face, I can still remember it. It's definitely my favorite memory.
It's funny how a bag of candy can bring so much joy to a child's life. Might need a bag of candy over there somewhere. I love that. And yesterday when we were at my house and we were kind of going through this a little bit, you and Audrey started talking about Bible Bonanza. What was that? Tell me about that.
Well, on Wednesday, it's the last official day at the church for VBS before the field trip. And the counselor is watching throughout the week, and he picks one person from each group, and he gets a Bible for them, and he writes a note in it, and then instead of ticket time on Wednesday, it's Bible Bonanza, and he gives them a Bible. And it's really cool to watch because a lot of those kids have never had a Bible before, and as soon as they get it, they'll just sit down and start reading it, and it's really cool to watch.
That's neat that out of, you know, all the technology that we have in life and all those things, that a kid gets so excited about receiving the Word. And, you know, they go and they sit and they read that, and I hope that that is our spirit. I hope that our excitement comes from reading the Word and that we're excited to do that. So some of those lessons that we can learn from little ones. So in your opinion, you know, everything we do with our youth group, we try to tie back to discipling. So how do you think this specific trip relates to discipling?
Well, in my opinion, I think it relates really well with what we're talking about with discipling. God calls us to go out into the world and tell people who might not know ordinarily about it. And a lot of those kids, this is pretty much their only exposure to the Word, and you're getting a whole week to pretty much develop and build a foundation of God with them. So I think it's exactly what God's talking about.
So you get to go out into the world, and you get to tell people who don't know about God more about Him.
Exactly.
And I also like the concept of, you know, Jesus, you know, He had thousands of people that He could have spent every day with, but He chose 12. And I kind of like the concept of the little buddy, because you get to disciple that little buddy for a week too, and I think that's really cool. Kind of like you and Noah, was that his name?
Yes.
Great. So let me ask you this. What lessons have you learned from this trip?
Well, I think the biggest thing is really to take nothing for granted, because just in talking to the kids or going to the apartment complexes and seeing what their life is like, a lot of these kids have nothing. I mean, they have single parent households. They're living in basically poverty, and basically their only meal is at lunch at camp. But they still come in every day excited, energized, ready to learn about God. And you can see that you don't have to have everything to still want to learn about God and love God. That's one of the things I've learned.
That's awesome. So finally, just kind of a general question on discipling. What do you think it means to be a disciple?
I think being a disciple is someone who follows the Word of God and spends a lot of time praying and reading Scripture and just a lot of time focusing on God.
Great, great. Well, appreciate you coming up here, Wilson. Let's give him a round. I really appreciate Wilson. You know, it is difficult to go back to the same trip every year and to keep your excitement level high, and especially when you're around tons of little kids, keeping your energy high, that's a difficult thing to do. But he has come year in and year out and has developed into one of our great leaders within our junior high. And so we really look up and we really appreciate the service that he's given us. Up next, we're going to have Zane Harris come up here. Zane is going for the first time ever to the Dominican Republic with us, though we've been going on this trip. I guess this is our fourth year now. So I'm excited to have Zane come. He's a great kid. We got a really good friendship and relationship, and so I'm excited to be able to experience this with him. But before we start, Zane, tell us just a bit about yourself.
Well, as you said, my name's Zane Harris, and graduated from CAC this May, and I'm planning on attending Harding this fall, and my favorite candy is Skittles.
That's why you and Audrey get along so well. It makes sense. All right. So, Zane, you are pretty experienced in mission trips. You've gone on several of them. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the trips that you have been on?
Well, I've been to Haiti, Burkina Faso, Africa. I've been on the Tulsa mission trip twice, Orlando mission trip twice, and I just got back from Guatemala a few weeks ago.
So you are fairly experienced in missions, I would say, more so than I. But can you tell me what kinds of things do you do on these trips?
Well, I'll just kind of run through them one by one. In Haiti, we built earth bag houses down there for them. And in Africa, we helped my uncle restore and build water wells. And then, as Wilson shared, in Tulsa, we kind of helped in the inner city VBS. And then in Orlando, we worked at a place called Give Kids a World and just kind of helped families with kids that had terminal illnesses just kind of get away from that and have a good time there. And then I just got back from Guatemala, and it was a medical mission trip, and we provided like surgeries for like 68 people there. So it's really cool.
You were providing surgeries?
I did help in a few.
That's terrifying. So not all mission trips are built the same. You know, you've been on mission trips where it's been very benevolent. You've built houses, or you've helped with, you know, water purification systems or water filters, water wells, sorry. You know, you've done kind of, you know, more relational trips, kind of like the Tulsa trip that we've done, medical trips. So not all mission trips are built the same way. So tell me, what do you expect out of this mission trip, even though you've never been on it? What do you expect to find there?
Well, I know it's sort of set up as more of like a discipling and ministry trip, but normally when I go on mission trips, I try not to like go in expecting one thing, because a lot of times mission trip, I mean, you may help somebody, but a lot of times like what they give to you in like an insight and learning is like more powerful than what you expect to do for them.
So you're coming into this trip expecting to learn for yourself.
Yeah.
any lessons that you think are out there to be learned? It's a curveball question. We didn't have that one written down.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of lessons. I've learned a lot, especially from the Guatemala trip, that I think I'll learn some more in the Dominican. It's just like how close you can grow to somebody, even though there is like a language barrier there. And so I think that'll be really neat.
What, have you been practicing your Spanish?
Sí.
He's fluent. All right. Excellent. So you have been in our youth group for quite some time. And we try very desperately to train you in discipleship. You know, sometimes we fall short of that. And, you know, with all the chaos of life, I know it's easy to kind of forget some of the lessons that we've taught along the way. But what do you think that you have gleaned from your time in the youth group that will help you on this trip? Or what has Audrey taught you that will help you on this trip?
Probably too much to talk about like in this few minutes, but you and Audrey have definitely taught me a lot. And the things that I think stick out to the most to me is probably when you talk about discipleship. You always taught us as a disciple to ask questions, you know, and like always be seeking to learn more. And I really enjoyed that. And also, every time we would have an answer for your question, you would always ask us why we believed it, you know, showing that, you know, it's good to know what you believe, but it's also really important to know why you believe it.
And you think kind of that foundation of thinking through your beliefs and your theology, you think that's going to help you on this trip?
I definitely think so. I think it helps you in all aspects of your life, just having a stronger foundation, you know.
Great. So Dominican, it's not, it can be a bit unpleasant, just weather-wise and whatnot. Tell me, what are you anxious about with this trip? And then also tell us, what are you excited about for this trip?
Well, I don't really get anxious about trips, but I do get kind of nervous around spiders.
Well, there are a lot of big ones down there, so I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, so I guess I'm a little anxious about that. There's a lot of big bugs and rats and stuff like that I've heard about. but I'm totally excited about this trip. You know, I'm going on the first group down there, and I think both groups have just amazing people going. There's a lot of great seniors and a lot of great younger kids that I think are really going to enjoy it, and I'm excited for us to be, one, impactful to the people there, but for it to kind of reciprocate and to see how we change throughout.
Excellent. So you are excited about the opportunity to go down with kind of your community and see how we change coming out of that as well. And you're anxious about spiders.
Mm-hmm.
I got a story about spiders, Dominican spiders. One night, well, and this is just not to set you at rest whatsoever. One night, when Audrey and I were down there, when we were living down there, we were laying in bed, and the spiders down there are sizable. And we saw one on our door, and you know that they don't weird us out. This one just looked weird. And so I went and I looked at it, and it had a huge egg sac on it. And so I thought, okay, well, let's kill this sucker. And so I went and I grabbed some of our like spray surface cleaner, because that's really good at killing spiders. That's what we used. And so I went to our door and I sprayed it, and it did its job. It killed it. But not thinking things through like I'm so apt to do, that spider fell from the door onto the floor and its egg sac burst. And I mean, you talk about, this was a scene from a horror film. I mean, there were hundreds of spiders just going everywhere, and I'm just trying to Windex the entire house. But you'll be fine, yeah. You'll be good. So just about discipling in general, we asked Wilson, we asked what made a good disciple, but I want to ask you, what do you think makes a good discipler?
Okay. Well, I think a good discipler, definitely one of the things that I think of when I think about a good discipler is having their priorities in order. So like, they're going to have time for you, and they're going to be intentional with that time and have a really good, strong relationship with you. But I also think that they're going to like, through their words and actions, you're going to be able to tell that God's their number one priority, and they're just going to lead by example, I think.
So always making time for the people that you disciple, and then making sure that your life reflects that of Christ, so that when they see you, they see Christ. I like that. I like that a lot. Let's give Zane a round of applause. Up next, we have Carter Shields, and Carter is a graduated senior as well, and he has a little bit of a different role this summer that I'm kind of excited for him, but I'm going to let him explain that to you, because he could probably do a much better job than I could. But Carter, first, tell us just a bit about yourself.
My name's Carter. I graduated from CAC this year as well, and I'm also going to Harding, but my favorite candy is not Skittles. So
what is it?
They're all great. I don't know.
They're all great. I'm glad your dad's not a dentist. So how many times is this for you in the Dominican?
This will be my third trip.
Okay, so this is your third trip down. And so you've been down there. You've experienced the heat, the humidity, the spiders. You know, sometimes the electricity is not very reliable. Sometimes we don't have water to shower in at night. Sometimes when we do, well, all the time when we do have water, it's ice cold. What makes you keep going back?
Well, I'm not going to lie. When you describe it that way, it does not sound appealing at all. But that's not what how I see the Dominican. You know, in my time there, I've seen through the locals and their poverty and the absence of their material wealth, the joy that they have. And I think that is a pure example of the Holy Spirit's joy. When you're so poor and you have almost nothing materialistically, and you have to rely on each other through community with each other and with God, that just the sense of joy that they have is just incredible, and it's contagious.
So you see a joy that is probably present here somewhere as well, but it's just so much more evident to you down there based on what they don't have.
Yes,
it's awesome. So let me ask you this. You've been there a couple years. What is one of your favorite memories from the Dominican?
There's a day in our program there every year that's called Community Day, and everybody's separated into different groups, and we each go to a local Dominican house for lunch. And so, like, the mother or the grandmother in the house will cook the meal, and you just kind of sit there and eat the nice rice and beans and chicken and try to have a conversation through broken English and Spanish, and it can be incredibly awkward, but it's amazing.
That is very awkward. When you sit across from somebody who does not speak your language, and it's not just a 45-minute meal. You spend probably 4 hours in their house mm-hmm. with people that you don't speak their language. Why do you like that?
I don't know. It's just a different experience, you know? And a lot of times they'll try to play games and stuff. And I don't know. It's just a really cool, like, without being able to speak to them really well, we still have a really cool time and a good connection with them.
Community Day is definitely one of my favorites as well. I'm glad that you like that. So you have a little bit of a different role this summer than just the typical group member. Will you kind of explain a bit about what you're doing this summer?
Yeah, so this year I will be going down there as a junior intern working for Mana Global Ministries, which means I won't be technically part of the PV team, although I'm going down there with them. So I'll be down there for 2 weeks, and my responsibilities are more from the missionary's perspective rather than what PV is doing specifically, which also means more chores. So
I don't get to boss you around. You report to someone else.
Right. Probably awesome. Davis Carnes.
That's good for you. That's an exciting opportunity. So is this something that you, why did you choose to do a junior internship? Like, is that something that you're wanting to expand upon or?
So ever since I went down there my first year, I felt like that was a place where I needed to be. And my plan is to do a complete summer internship next year. And so this is kind of like a taste of what that's going to be like. And since I've been down there twice, not that I don't like the program, it's just I kind of want a different perspective on it. So,
kind of wanted to take the next step in. Great. So you've seen Mana's discipling ministry, and we could have, you know, a month-long discussion on the different aspects of how Mana tries to disciple. Mana, by the way, Mana Global Ministries is the name of the organization that we work with down there. And we could go on and on about their discipling ministry and how they disciple. But just briefly, can you explain a bit about how they view discipling and how they act it out in their ministries?
So a very simplified version is that you have a spiritually mature or older person have an intentional relationship with one or several spiritually younger people, and you walk with them and you spend time with them and you answer their questions, and mostly you just spend a lot of time with them and instill in them the spiritual things that you've learned through your experience. And then when they're ready, the idea is that that younger person will then take on a different younger person now that they are the spiritually mature person. So it's kind of a multiplying effect.
So have you seen that specifically with any kids down there at all?
Well, you know, Angel, there's a kid down there named Angel, who was one of Jordan's disciples when he was down there for 2 years. And it's really neat because I've heard about him. I'd heard about him before I went there. And then when I got down there, he was one of the most active leaders for Manna that I've out of the kids down there. So it's really neat to see what you instilled in him that he was helping to do for Manna with the younger kids down there as well.
I do kind of want to explain to you what Manna does. Audrey and I, we were very fortunate to start a high school down there. The education is not very great there, but the goal of that was to get kids kind of out of the culture of the drinking, of the abuse, of the sex, of all the things that culture tells them is appropriate and to chase after. And one of the things that Carter said is that the disciples spend a lot of time with. And I don't know that we can disciple people when it's just Sunday mornings and maybe Wednesday nights, because you don't have enough time with them. And culture has so much more time with an individual to teach them than we did. And so we intentionally took those kids out of their culture, celebrated the things within their culture that are great, the community, the joy, those kinds of things. But we also wanted to instill into them what Jesus wanted for their lives. And I think that's so incredibly important. I kind of got on my soapbox here and I didn't mean to do so. But I'm really glad that you've been able to see that down there. So just two more questions. What can we learn here at Pleasant Valley, maybe within our youth group, maybe within our church as a whole, from this discipling model that we need to implement here?
I think that Manna's model is very successful. And so I would say, if you feel that you're spiritually mature or old, that I would seek someone out that may not be that way. And if you're feeling like you're not there yet, then seek someone out who is spiritually mature to mentor you and become a disciple.
So everything is about seeking, being kind of intentional in who you spend your time with.
You have to look or you're not going to find it.
Yeah, you have to look or you're not going to find it. I love that. Last question. You're a graduated senior, which means that your time with us is somewhat over. We won't let you go too much. We'll plan on stalking you a little bit while you're at Harding. But how do you plan on taking the lessons that you've learned over the years here to go and make disciples?
Well, you know, I may be a graduated senior, but I'm also an incoming freshman, so having someone listening to me is going to be difficult. But, you know, there's always going to be people looking for answers, and then I can always be a person that's looking for someone, you know? And so I have a few relationships here that I've tried to start discipling with a few guys here, and those have been pretty good. And so I'm going to try to keep those the best I can while I'm away, but I'm also going to start to look for someone else to start that with at college. So,
and that's the great thing about discipling is no matter where you go, there's somebody who needs that. And so if you look hard enough, you will find that. So I hope that you do that, and I hope that you come back and you share those stories and, you know, questions that you have about whatever you run up against in those discipling relationships. You know, you always have Audrey and I here. You have your wonderful Father Eddie, and you have a church congregation here that wants to help you through. Because we are here to disciple you as you go and disciple others as well. So we appreciate you coming up here, Carter. This week, Audrey and I had, actually yesterday, we got back from a trip to Nashville, Tennessee. We took a group to Impact, which is just a summer camp. And it was a really, really great experience. My favorite part of the entire week was our very last night there, Friday night. The whole week was about the Sermon on the Mount. And that was all of the classes, all of the lessons. They all revolved around the Sermon on the Mount. And the very last night, there's a fella there that I feel like he embodies kind of the spirit of Jesus. He's kind, he's funny, he's welcoming, he's warm. And the very last night, he had memorized the Sermon on the Mount, and that was the lesson. He just preached it. And I know that we've had people do that here before. And I've never heard, I've never experienced the Sermon on the Mount preached. Not read, but preached. And it really, really made Scripture come alive to me. It really brought a different spin to it. You know, my allergies were going pretty hard during all of that, so my eyes were watering a little bit. But if you haven't had Scripture come alive to you, then I would suggest that there's probably something missing in your life. Audrey was able to address all of the females at Impact, and she read this verse. This is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. And this is the part I want you to hear. For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy. I have fallen in love with discipling. Being able to disciple kids like Angel that Carter mentioned. Being able to work with our teens. And it brings this passage to life. Because I see them grow and I see them learn and I see them become young men and women on their own who go out and intentionally live out the call of Christ. And that is my joy. That is my glory. That's part of my crown, is being able to work with these kids. You might not have the opportunity to work in a ministry, an official youth group ministry, but you are called to make disciples. You are called that as you go to make disciples of all nations. You don't have to go out to Tulsa. You don't have to go out to the Dominican. You don't have to go somewhere. In your work, you're sitting next to people who don't know the joy of Christ, who don't know his peace, who don't know his love. And if you feel like you are a spiritually old person, that doesn't mean an age old person. That means a spiritually old, wise, mature person. Then it is your job and it is your duty to do that, to make those disciples. And if you are not at a point where you feel like you can do it, then it is your job and it is your duty to learn and grow into that. And we have strong men and women in this church who want to help you along the way. So if you feel like you have been at that point where you should be making disciples and maybe you haven't, maybe you feel like you need to repent of that, maybe you feel like you need prayers in that, maybe you feel like you need guidance in that, if you feel like you are not at that point and you want prayers, you want somebody to work with you, we're going to invite you to come forward as we stand and sing. Or if you don't feel comfortable coming forward, I mean, there's a lot of people in here. I understand that. That can be awkward. That can be embarrassing. Look around. If you're an elder, go ahead and stand up. If you're an elder, stand up. These are great men. These are men that have affected our lives. I know that they are willing to help guide you. Y'all can have a seat. Help guide you. Help pray with you, help raise you up to be a discipler for Jesus Christ. But if any of that appeals to you, if any of that calls to your heart, please come forward as we stand and sing.